Okay, we're going to start here on the top of Tetzayin Amud Aleph, continuing the sugyo that's dealing with Lashon Hara. We have Amar Rabba Baravuna, Komyukta Dimit Amra Ba'apis Lato, Leibuhum Mishum Lishnam Bisho. Anything that is said in front of three people no longer has a din of Lashon Hara. This is what people quote as the famous heter, if something is public knowledge, that there's no longer an Isur of Lashon Hara. If you look in Rashi, Rashi qualifies the statement, and that's makes it in a very particular instance, which is that the person who the information is about spoke to others about it. I mean that he himself gave over the information in front of three others, which means that he now knows that whatever he has said is going to become public because my time up, chavrach chavra idle, v'chavra dechavra chavra idle. Your friend has a friend, and your friend's friend has a friend. News travels. So he knows once he said it in front of three people, there's no way it's going to be kept secret anymore. And by the fact that he did say it in front of three people already means that it's a public piece of information. So over here, the clear distinction that Rashi draws is who is the one who spoke the Lashon Hara. It's not that something that is common knowledge and therefore you could speak about it. It was something that's made common knowledge because the individual himself spoke about it. That's very different than just a generic case where the knowledge is well known. It's no longer Lashon Hara, everybody knows about it. It is Lashon Hara. The only question is when the Balim themselves made the information public, then your passing on at that point is no longer a breach of keeping that a secret or not speaking about it because the individual themselves did not feel that they had to keep it a secret. Kiyat Ravdimi, Aramai Dichtiv, Pasuk, what does it mean by the Pasuk Mishleim, Yivarech Re'eu B'kol Gadol? Someone who praises his friend with a loud voice, then babuker shkem klala techashiv lo. Get up in the morning, and all of a sudden it's a curse. So here the person is saying something supposedly positive, complimentary, in a loud voice. In the end, it turns out to be the detriment. Kigon, the mikla lushbizo, v'tarchu kamesh shapir. He went to a guest house, went to a bed and breakfast, and they took care of him in a wonderful manner. Ma'afar nachfik yati b'shuka. Next day, he's out in the marketplace. God should bless these people. They took care of me. They just did. They were unbelievable. People here, and then they go ahead and they drain him of all his wealth. Rashi brings down two possible interpretations of what it means. Generally, anas is something that is done by force. So that people will hear that this individual is wealthy, and therefore he takes care of his guests, and they'll rob him or extort him for money. They'll do something to extract money from him because they now know that he's wealthy from your statement. That's one possibility. The other possibility is all the freeloaders will now show up at this person's house. You've complimented the way that he does hachnasat orchim. Now everybody's going to go to his house for this wonderful treatment. And again, they'll drain him of all his money because now there'll be endless guests that follow. Tani, Rav Dimi, Achuad Rav Safra. Lo'olam ayisaper adam betovato shel chavero, toch tovato ba lidei rato. So this is something that is known as Avak Lashon Hara. Avak Lashon Hara is something that's not directly Lashon Hara, but has a high likelihood of causing Lashon Hara or extracting Lashon Hara. So here, Rav Dimi Achud, the Rav Safra says, don't speak about the positive side of an individual because of speaking about that positive, Bali De Rato will end up in Lashon Hara. Now Rashi on this qualifies that statement again and says, Kishuhu Misaper, Bitovato yoter midai. It's too much. Excessive praise of the individual. I mean, that simple praise of the individual won't have any impact, and that won't lead to Lashon Hara. It's just if you excessively praise the individual, others might feel compelled then to respond, or they might end up, just because you're talking so much about other individuals, that you'll end up in Lashon Hara. If you look in the Gilyan Shos, Rabbi Kiva Eger already says, this is Rashi, he says the Rif said the exact same thing as Rashi, that it's yoter midai. And the Rambam codifies the halacha, as well as the smag, is that the context in which it's said is more important. He praises an individual in front of someone he knows dislikes him, someone that hates him. So he knows what's the response going to be. You praise an individual in front of someone you know does not necessarily like this individual. Of course, the response is going to be they're going to come up with negatives. It's going to extract, it's going to engender Lashon Hara being spoken by the other individual. So that's two different ways to look at the Avak Lashon Hara here. One is that your excessive praise will lead to Lashon Hara, whether it's from you or others. Or the other is that the context in which you say the praise is going to, of course, end up in Lashon Hara. Igadamri, Rav Divi, Achud, Rav Safra, Chalosh, she fell ill on his deathbed. Al Rav Safra, the Shulebe, came in to be Mavakar Cholim, Amalhu, Tetili, Tekami called Amar Rabbanan, said that I should have this Zuchut, that I kept everything that the Rabbanan said. Amalai, Mar, Mikamet. Did you really keep this memra of the Rabbanan? Lolam, yes, a paradam tovato shachoero, tov tovato bali degnuto. Not to speak in praise, either again Rashi, overly, excessively in praise, according to the Rambam and the Smak, in front of his enemies. Did you not speak about his praises in such a manner? Because bali degnuto, it ends up causing lashon hara. Amar lo, lo shmili, I never heard of that. Had I heard of it, I definitely would have kept it. It's obvious why Rav Safra picked this up, because it's something that, it seems to be something positive. Here, he's saying, I kept everything the Rabbanan said, and then he challenges him with this one point where it's something that's positive. Did you praise people all the time? Did you overly praise them? Did you praise them in front of the enemies? He thought he was doing something good, and here the Rabbanan say that's a negative because it leads to something else. So he challenged him with that, and he said, I didn't hear of it. Had I heard of it, I would have been more careful about that issue. It's a very interesting conversation. But again, it talks about here what the Rabbanan call avak lashon hara, that not only is lashon hara important to avoid, but it's also important to avoid avak lashon hara, which is pausing or engendering lashon hara because of something that you said that otherwise would have been neutral, or otherwise would even might have been positive, but you have to be careful about where and how you speak about things or other individuals. Just better not to speak about other individuals. I'm Rav Shmuel Bar Nachmeini, I'm Rav Yochanan, Ashivat Dvarim Negaim Baim. There's seven things for which Tzarat comes. So now the most famous of these is Alashon Hara. Then there's Shvichut Damim, killing, Shvuat Shav, taking unnecessary oaths, Gilui Arayot, illicit relations, Gasut Ruach, haughtiness, Valgezel, theft, Valturot Ayin, miserliness. So it's interesting that Lashon Hara is the most famous, it's always quoted, but the Gemara here quotes seven items. There are other Midrashim that quote even more that are associated with Tzarat. You look through the Tanakh, you'll see that there are instances where there's Tzarat. If you investigate all those instances, Gemara here is going to bring a lot of the examples, but there are other examples that connect with specific Chataim that Tzarat is connected with. So you have to explain why Lashon Hara got such press or headlines when the Gemara says that Tzarat affects many other things. So I'll try to give a corporating explanation once we go through all the items here. So first is Lashon Hara, Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, Tehilim, Milashni Baseter, Re'ehu Oto Atzmit. That person who speaks ill about their friend, Oto Atzmit, I will cut him off. So cutting him off, the assumption here being that Atzmit connects to the Tzarat, that it will cut him off from being within the normal social framework of individuals, because he has to be Badad Yeshev Mechutz the Machaneh, he has to sit alone outside the Machaneh. The other reason is that the Mitzora Mukhlat, the Targum of Mukhlat, is Atzmit, which means the person has been fully decided to be a Tzorat, so it's also a connection to the word Atzmit. Shvichut Damim, that's on the killing, Dichtiv, Vayuchrot Vibetu Av Zavu Mitzora, this is the curse that David wishes upon Yoav, when Yoav kills Avner Bener. Avner Bener had come to make a peace treaty with David, to bring the rest of the Aseret HaShvatim to David HaMelech, and to join the nation together. Avner Bener leaves, Yoav gets wind of it, he returns from battle, gets wind of the fact that Avner Bener was there, he chases after him, and he kills him in cold blood, by the gate of Hebron, the capital city at that point where David was located. David was very upset at Yoav because he gave him a shame ra. Here he's trying to make peace and trying to bring the Aseret HaShvatim together. And looks like that David now killed Avner Bener, or Yoav, on the command of David does this, and therefore he curses Yoav for killing him in cold blood. Yoav also obviously had other reasons to kill him. Avner Bener had killed his brother in the previous battle, civil war that had transpired between Israel and Yehuda, and therefore he was taking revenge for his brother's death. So there, David curses him with Zavu Mitzora. So Tzarat is because of this Shvichut Damin. Now Shvuat Shav, this is one of the harder ones. Shvuat Shav, taking an oath that's unnecessary or absolutely false. Dichtiv, Vayomer Naaman, Well, Kach Kikaraim. David, Tzarat Naaman, Tidbach, Bechav Zaracha Ad Olam. So the story is the famous story because we read the Haftorah from Malachim Bet. It's the story of Elisha and Naaman. Naaman comes from Ashur, comes from Damascus. He hears that Elisha is able to cure people who have Tzarat, and he dips in the Yarden, and then he is cured from his Tzarat. He offers Elisha to give him compensation, to pay him for it, and Elisha says, no, I want you to know that it's all from Hashem, and I won't take any compensation. Elisha's assistant, the Gehazi, after Naaman leaves, chases him down and says, right after you left, two poor Ne'arim came to the Navi and they need some food, they need some clothing, they need some stuff, but my master sent me in order to get them from you. And he takes the food and the clothing, takes them to his own house and he keeps them. He lied. And he basically went to get the money for himself, Gehazi, to get paid. When he returns to Elisha, Elisha says to him, where were you? Gehazi is nowhere. I was just here. Elisha, of course, through Nuvah, knows that he was with Naaman, and he says that the tzarat of Naaman should stick with you and your children forever because you did this. You did this Chilul Hashem. Now, the question of where does the Shvat Shav come? Pasuk says, and it's, again, not the pashtut of the word in the Pasuk, says when he catches up with Naaman to tell him, I want this compensation, I want this stuff to take back for the Ne'arim, so it says, Vayomer Naaman, Hoel, kach kikarim. Hoel means, go ahead, please do. He acquiesced to give it to him, and he gave him kikarim, two loaves of bread, and so on and so forth. The Gemara darshins the word Hoel to mean a lashon shvuah. Now, Naaman said to him, take a shvuah that Elisha sent you. And he agrees. Hoel means that he agreed to that. Chazal do the exact same thing by Moshe Rabbeinu. By Moshe Rabbeinu it says, Vayoel, lashemet ta'ish. Moshe agreed to stay with Yitro. Over there, Chazal also dashim Vayoel means he took a shvuah with Yitro that he wouldn't go back without to Mitzrayim, without telling him. They interpret the word Vayoel, which means to acquiesce, to agree, rather than to be simply an agreement to be pleasing, but rather to be an agreement to something else that was stated. An agreement to a shvuah. And that's why over there they say shvuah, and over here they also say shvuah. Again, it's not the pashtut of the word. The pashtut of the word of Hoel means, if it pleases, or if I acquiesce, but acquiesce without any conditions, I agree, no problem, take it, go ahead. Some of the Rishonim connect between the Allah of the Sota and the Hoel here to create a shvuah. Again, it's not the pashtut of the pasuk, it's not the pashtut of the milah here. V'al gilu erayot, dichtiv, as we know from Sefer Breshit, when Paro takes Sarah from Abraham, it says, V'niyaga Hashem et Paro nigaim. So over there, when we say nigaim, the assumption of nigaim is that it's tzarat, because the term nega is used in Sefer Vayikra, associated with tzarat. V'agasot ruach, this is a clear case, by haughtiness, dichtiv, u'b'chezkato gavalibo, uziyah. When he consolidates the malchut, it's basically back to its peak, almost as if there's one kingdom again under Uzziah, and he becomes haughty about this, ad hakashrit, to the point that he does something awful. Vayimol b'Hashem Elokav, and then he rebels against Hashem, or does something that was inappropriate, which is that he decides he wants to be the Kohen Gadol as well. Comes into the Mikdash, grabs the Ketoret, and he wants to be Makriv the Ketoret and be the Kohen Gadol, not just the Melech, but the Kohen Gadol as well. And there the Pasuk tells us, v'tzarat zarcha b'mitzko. He went to raise the Torah, before he had a chance to do it, Tzarat breaks out on his head, and they squirt him out in a hurry, and he's left as a Tzarat the rest of his life because of this action. So this is someone who's haughty, and therefore he ended up with Tzarat. Well, a gezel, theft. There's talking about Tzarat Abayit. By Tzarat Abayit, the Kohen says to the individual, take all your stuff out before I come and make the house tameh, because otherwise all the objects inside will be tameh. Tano, who koneis mamon sheino shalo? Yavol kohen vipazer mamono. He stole other people's items. He took other people's possessions. Now he's going to be forced to expose it in front of everyone else. So that which he stole now is going to be exposed to everyone. So that's all a gezel. But tzarut ayin is from miserliness. Because dichtiv uvasher lo habayit. Which means the one who has the house. Again, with tzarat habayit, the one whose house it is will come to the kohen. What do you mean? It's his house. Of course it's his house. Tana de beir shmo, mishi miuchad betolo. It's his house and no one else's. Meaning that he was miserly. He didn't allow anyone else to benefit from his house. And therefore, Tzarat Abayit came because of the fact that he wasn't open or sharing with others. He refused to give others things. Again, he'll now be exposed because the house will be opened up. Everyone will see what he really has, or that he did have what to lend out to them and to give to them. The fact that he didn't now will be exposed. So now we have here a list of those seven items. What I want to suggest, mentioned in other contexts, but if you really go through Tanakh and all the different types of Tzarat, Tzarat tends to appear or come about in situations where people overextend themselves, go beyond their boundaries, extend their limits. They don't understand the proper limits in which they're contained, and they overstep those bounds. When they overstep those bounds, that's when Tzarat comes. And Lashon Hara is just an example of that category or that idea. The punishment for Tzarat is Badad Yeshev Michutz L'Machaneh. He has to sit alone outside of the camp. That punishment is appropriate for someone who overstepped their bounds. What happens to them? They're taken out of the social framework and they're put outside the machaneh, where they have to learn the lesson of what are the proper bounds in which one is kept. I'll give you a couple of examples just from what we have here. For instance, Yoav. Yoav kills Avner Ben-Er. Yoav was not entitled to kill Avner Ben-Er. David is the king. He's the melech. So two things. Number one is killing is something that's not acceptable. It's in the realm of God. And even if it's not in the realm of God here, where it's given over to the king, the power to kill someone, it has to be in the command of the king. Yoav usurps the power of the king and kills Avner Ben-Er. He does as if he's the messenger of the king, and he goes and kills Avner Ben-Er when he was the general and not the king. So he overstepped his bounds. And therefore, the punishment for overstepping bounds is tzarat. Uzziah is the same thing. Uzziah is the king. A king, and a tremendous king at that. He successfully unites Israel and Yehuda. The kingdom is returned to the glory it had in the time of Shlomo HaMelech. And all of a sudden, what does he decide? He wants to be the Kohen Gadol as well. And they say to him on the spot, isn't it enough for you that you're the king? Why do you want to be the Kohen Gadol? No, he wants to overstep his bound. Haughtiness. It's the same idea that one oversteps their bounds. Here he's going for the Kuna Gdola, when he shouldn't have. That wasn't his place, and he oversteps his bounds. Tzarat. Lashon Hara works the same way. Lashon Hara is speaking ill or evilly about others. And again, Lashon Hara is something that's true. It's not that it's not true. So what's the issue? Why does one speak Lashon Hara? Because they believe that it's necessary for them to put that other person in place, to make sure that they have the proper place where they're supposed to be. People think too highly of them. Somebody thinks good of them, or somehow they're exceeding my social standing. So how do they even the field? How do they level out? They speak Lashon Hara. They take the other person down. So in doing that, one is, again, overstepping their bounds. You're dealing with other people's issues, other people's lives. That's not your place. Your place is to deal with yourself and your own. Speaking about others and other people's positions, that's not your job. It's not your place. You've overstepped your bounds by being involved in other people's standing or social standing. By doing that, the punishment again is Badad Yashiv Mechutz L'Machaneh. Just some quick examples of that, but I think you can relate. In all these cases, Gilui Arayot, same thing. You have that by Paro taking Sarah. It was inappropriate to take someone else's wife. You have all these things where overstepping one's bounds ends up in Sarat. And therefore I think Lashon Hara is just a prime example of that idea of overstepping bounds, that you're outside the realm of which you are supposed to be, and therefore again, the punishment is Badad Yashiv Michutz L'Machaneh. Now the Gemara challenges this idea that Tzarat is the punishment for Lashon Hara, because we find other kaparot or punishments for Lashon Hara. V'ha'amar Rabbi Anani Bar Sason, Lama Nitzbecha Parshat Bigdei Kuna LaParshat Kabanot. Why is there a juxtaposition between Parshat Truman Tetzaveh, basically? Why are the Parsha of the Bigdei Kuna right next to the Parsha of the Karbanot? Just like Karbanot bring Kapara, so too the Bigdei Kuna bring Kapara. So we saw this Gemara in Zvachim. Ketonet, Mechaperet al Shvichut Damim. Ketonet is Mechaper and Shvichadim, Dichtiv, Veitbalu, et Ketonet Badam. It comes to the Ketonet Pasim of Yosef. They take and they dip it in the blood to show or to indicate that he had been killed. So to over here, the Ketonet of the Kohen Gadol will be Mechaper on murder. Michnesayim, Mechabrim al Gilu Erayot. So obviously here, the pants, the shorts, which cover the Makom Erva, they will be Mechaper on Gilu Erayot. Tichtiv Vaselehem Michnesay Ba Dechasot Basar Erva. Purpose of the Michnesayim is to cover over the area of the Erva. Mitznefet, the hat of the Kohen, Mechaperet al Gasei Aruach. Mechaper on those that are haughty. That the thing at the height, the peak of the individual, the hat, should be mechaper on the thing that is a person extending themselves and being haughty or high up. Avnet mechaper al hirurei alev. The belt is mechaper on hirurei alev, bad thoughts, inappropriate thoughts. Ahecha deita. Where it says, because that's where it is located. So Rashi quotes in Zvachim, is because the location of it is around, the belt is put right below, or equal to the level with the elbows. Level with the elbows is right below the heart. It's the gartel, it sits right below the heart, and therefore, because of its location, that's why it's that way. The other option that is given, what it means, Vayu Alei Varon, which is because the avnet was 32 amot long. And since it was 32 amot long, the gematria lev is 32. And therefore, there's an association between the length of the avnet to the word lev. The Shita Mikubetzet over here mentions another idea that the avnet was wrapped around the kohen 32 times. It was so long that it was wrapped around him 32 times. Keneged the milah of lev. Choshen mechaper le dinim. The choshen is mechaper on some misjudgment, perversion of the law, because vasita choshen mishpat. It's called the choshen ha-mishpat. Why is it called a mishpat? Mishpat has to do with din. Eifod mechaper l'avodah zarah. The eifod is mechaper for avodah zarah, dichtiv. Vein eifod utropim. Again, the pashtut pasuk there in Hosea is not so simple, because it's saying that Bnei Israel will not have karbanot, zvachim. All those items, there are positive items, and they will not have the eifod, and they won't have the kohen gadol to ask from Hashem, utropim. The word trafim there, it's unclear how to translate the word trafim. It's almost out of place in the pasuk. Chazal are obviously translating the word trafim over here to mean avodah zarah or idols. So they're connecting the fact that there's no eifod to the trafim, the avodah zarah. Because we have that in numerous places, this connection between eifod and avodah zarah. You have it by Gideon, who makes an eifod that ends up being a problem for avodah zarah after his lifetime. You have it by Shaul, talks about the oven and the trafim. Also by Rachel, you have the trafim. So we know that trafim is associated with avodah zarah. And here, placement of eifod and trafim together in the pasuk in Hosea, they say that the eifod is mechaper ala trafim. Me'io mechaper ala lashon hara. The overcoat, or the outer cloak, is mechaper ala lashon hara. Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, yavad davar shebikol. The one item that makes a noise, that is the me'io. Why does the me'io make a noise? It has bells at the bottom. Bells at the bottom, so when the Kohen Gadol walks, that you would hear him. Bichaper on Masei Kohen, it's Mechaper on something else that's got to do with speaking or making noise, that's Lashon Hara. Tzitz Mechaper on Masei Azei Panim. Tzitz is Mechaper on people who are brazen. Ketiv HaChavaya Am Metzach Aaron, because the placement of the tzitz is on the forehead of Aaron. And brazen face, it says, Ketiv HaTam BeYishayahu, Umetzach Isha Zona Yalecha. I'm talking about Kali, so it says that you have like a face of an isha zonah who is brazen, metzach, meaning their forehead. So that brazenness comes, our forehead is associated with brazenness, and therefore the azut panim is connected to the part of the big deguna that's on the metzach, which is the tzitz. So the question of the Gemara here, or seeming question of the Gemara here, has to do with lashon hara. We said before that lashon hara is punished through tzarat, or it's nitzkaper through tzarat. Over here it says that the kapara for lashon hara is the mi'il. So how do we reconcile those two? The Gemara says, that's not a problem, we can reconcile him. If he's successful with his Lashon Hara, then he gets punished with Tzarat. Rashi says successful is that he brings nitkotutu al yado, that he becomes quarrelsome, that he engenders a certain amount of divisiveness through his Lashon Hara, or fighting, or uneasiness because of his Lashon Hara. That means he was successful. Ilo hanu masav is Lashon Hara, it's not accepted, it doesn't work, then mi'il mechaper, the meal is mechaper on him. So that answers the issue of Lashon Hara. Rashi right away raises the issue. What about Shvichut Damim and Gilui Arayot? Shvichut and Damim were also mentioned, and Gilui Arayot are mentioned in the seven things that the Gayim come from, and they're also mentioned here in the Kaparot of the Big Day Kehuna Gedola. So how come there the Gemara doesn't ask the question? Rashi answers that Gilui Arayot and Shvichut Damim have unique properties. In Sefer Vayikra, in both Shvichut Damim and Gilui Arayot have specific properties that they cause the land become tamei, and you to be kicked out of the land. And that means that shvichut tamim and gilui arayot have what we call collateral damage. They not only affect the individuals that perform the chait, they also affect the individuals who live amongst them in Klal Yisrael. Because those people will suffer the consequences of their murder, or the consequences of their gilui arayot by the tumat haaretz, which will cause them to be thrown out of the land. And therefore Rashi says that the kapara, the big day kuna gedola, are for those individuals who are the collateral damage of the sin. The kapara of tzarat is directly for those individuals who perform the sin. And that's how Rashi separates between the two and says that's why the Gemara only asked about Lashon Hara. It was obvious to them by Shvichut Damim Migloriot there was such a distinction. Tosafot brings from the Ri and says that he doesn't like that answer of Rashi because the Gemara in Shavuot is very clear that a person is only held accountable for another sin when they had the ability to stop him. If you have the ability to stop him, then you're held accountable. You don't have the ability to stop him, then you're not held accountable. So over here, that can't be the explanation, that there's some sort of collateral damage from Gilui Arayot or Shvichut Damim. But rather, he says that the answer of the Gemara is all-inclusive. It's not just a question of Lashon Hara, it's a question of Shvichut Damim, Gilui Arayot. And the answer is, Iyohanu Masav or Lohanu Masav? Did it work or didn't work? Then Tosfot leads from that into a different category, but it's an amazing thing that Tosfot says over here. It says that there are multiple ways to murder. There are multiple ways to perform Gilui Arayot. For example, he says murder, someone can actually murder an individual, that's called murder. Also, a person can embarrass a person in public, that's called murder as well. That's also called Shvichut Damim. So he distinguishes between absolute or real Shvichut Damim, or Shvichut Damim, where Chazal brought in the category of Shvichut Damim. So when it comes to real Shvichut Damim, that's taken care of by Tzarat. Shvichut damim that comes from Mabin Pnei Chabiro Birabim, someone embarrasses another in person in public, that's taken care of by the big day kuna. That's what it means, Ilhanu Masav. If he really killed, then he gets sarad. Ilhanu Masav, he didn't absolutely kill, but he killed in a figurative sense, then the big day kuna held. Same thing with Gilu Arayot. If he performed Gilu Arayot, then the sarad takes care of him. Other possibility of Gilu Arayot is that he figuratively performed Gilu Arayot. The Gemara says about the children of Eli HaKohen, the Navi says that they were sleeping with the women who came up to bring Karbanot to Shiloh. So that's what the Navi criminates them for doing that. Chazal say they really didn't sleep with the women. What they did was they were lazy. They didn't want to bring their Karbanot on that day. They only brought them the next day. They caused the women had to stay overnight in Shiloh. Since they stayed overnight, they weren't able to go back to their husbands. So the Torah assigns them as if they performed Gilu Arayot. That's what Chazal says. So again, Tosfot will distinguish that the tzarat comes from someone who does perform Gilu Arayot to be mechaper on them. The big day kuna will be mechaper on someone who does something that is figuratively Gilu Arayot. The Shita Mikubetzit over here brings, what about Gasot HaRuach? Gasot HaRuach are mentioned in both cases again. Gasot HaRuach by Uziah, we said he got tzarat. And Gasot HaRuach by big day kuna is the mitznefet. How come nobody answers that? The Rosh says that the Tosfot gave this answer, and he continues along that line. He says, "V'chein gasut haruach ani omer imotzia gavut lepoal, if his holiness caused him to sin, like by Uziah, ad the hashchit, to the point that he actually sinned, then you get sarat. If the haughtiness is just a feeling inside, but does not let him sin, he doesn't actually sin in the end, that would be nitchaper ayidei big day kehuna." So there's the question of how big was the question of the Gemara. When they brought this additional brayta down to challenge the question of tzarat, was it very local, like Rashi says about Lashon Hara? Or was it also including the question of shvichut damim gilu arayot, and the Rosh includes even gasut haruach? So we have multiple items here that appear in both instances, and we have to explain why there need to be multiple kaparot for these items. Now the Gemara continues, v'am Rab Simon, am Rab Yishua ben Levi. So again, here we have another kapara for Lashon Hara. Shnei dvarim lo matzinu lehem ger karbanot kapara, b'davar acher matzinu lehem kapara. Two things that do not have karbanot to be mechaper, yet they have a kapara, something else, which is shvichut damim v'lashon hara. Shvichut damim be'egla arufa. Shvichut damim has no korban, but yet there is a kapara that is found by egla arufa. Lashon hara b'ktoret. B'ktoret provides kapara for lashon hara, because yavo davar shibachashai, something that is done in private should come along and be mechaper on something that is done private. And that's the brayta that's brought here. The Tanya, Rabbi Chanina, Lamadnu, Torah shemechaperet. How do we know that the Torah does provide kapara? Dichtiv. It's the story at the end of Korach. After Adat Korach is wiped out, Bnei Yisrael start to complain and they're worried about that Hashem's going to kill all of them. And all of a sudden a plague breaks out amongst the people. And Aaron runs out with the Torah into the people to stop the plague from spreading. Stops the plague amongst the Am. Torah, which is normally brought in the inner sanctum, in the Kodesh, and the Kodesh HaKodoshim, that be chaper on masei chashai, she mechaper on lashon hara, which is something that's done in private, back doors. So kasha shvichut damim, shvichut damim. Again, there's a problem between shvichut damim, kasha lashon hara, lashon hara. Because now we have an additional kapara for shvichut damim, and an additional kapara for lashon hara. Shvichut damim, shvichut damim, lo kasha, hadi yadiyah man katle, hadalo yadiyah man katle. That's not a problem. Egla rufa only comes when you don't know who the murderer is. If you don't know who the murderer is, then you have Egla Rufa. You know who the murderer is, then we're back to the story about the Tzarat, or back to the story about Big Day Kuhuna. Big Day Kuhuna and Tzarat are about the murderer themselves. The Egla Rufa is that the leaders of the community where this corpse was found clean themselves or mechaper for the fact that there was a murder here and that they are not responsible or they didn't do anything that caused the murder here. What about Lashon Hara? We have three times Shvichut Damim. So you have Shvichut Damim by Tzarat, you have Shvichut Damim by the Big Tikkunah, and Shvichut Damim now by Egla Rufa. So the distinction between Egla Rufa and those two is that by Egla Rufa we're talking about where we don't have the murderer, we don't know who the murderer is. The other two cases we're talking about, we do know who the murderer is. Then you have to figure out why you have to bifurcate between the Tzarat and the Big Tikkunah. We saw Rashi's explanation that there's a collateral damage, we saw Tosfot's explanation, it's real versus figurative. But that's the other distinction that's drawn. But Egla Rufa is distinguished from the other two by the fact we don't know who the murderer is. Lashon Hara, what do we do with that? Lashon Hara lo kasha, ha betzina'ah, ha befaresya. It's exactly the difference. The Ketoret is mechaper al masei chashai. When the Lashon Hara is spoken in a private forum, in a quiet forum, there the Ketoret takes care of it. Birfahesia, when it's spoken in a public forum, then the me'il, which makes noise, is mechaper on it. And again, you have to distinguish that from the tzorat, that also comes for, or to, rectify lashon hara. That's the difference between yohanu masav and lo hanu masav. That when he did it birfahesia, was he successful or not successful in causing a problem through the lashon hara? So that would be the distinction between the tzorat and the big day kuna. And the distinction between those two and the ktoret is those two are in public. The ktoret is mechaper on lashon hara, that is done privately. By mine Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav, mi Rabbi Chanina. That's the question. Rami la Rabbi Shmuel bar Nadav, chodnei the Rabbi Chanina. He was the son-in-law of Rabbi Chanina. Mi Rabbi Chanina, he asked that of him. Rami la, mi Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Ma mishtana mitzorah shamra Torah. Why is the Torah say that mitzorah is unique? Badad yeshev michutz l'machaneh mushavo. He has to sit outside the camp all alone. Who? Hivdil ben ish lishto, ben ish l're'eyu. He caused a rift between husband and wife, a rift between friends. Pika hamra Torah, badad yeshev. You go sit outside, be alone. You cause people to be alone. We're going to take you out of your social setting and leave you alone. You ruined the social structure that's there. We're going to ban you from being a social individual. You're going to be alone to think about it. Again, this relates to what I said before. Badad yeshev b'chutz l'machaneh is someone, again, who oversteps their bounds. By overstepping their bounds, we take them out of bounds. Now they go out of bounds. Out of bounds means b'chutz l'machaneh. I'm Rabbi Yehoshua ben Levi. Why is the korban kapara for a mitzvah two birds? Who osim masip patit? Fika hamra Torah yavi korban patit. The modern word for chatter. Chatter is pitput. So here he did masip patit. He did chattering, the actions of chattering lashon hara. Fika hamra Torah yavi tzipurim. He brings birds that are korban patit. They are. Birds chirp, they're chirpy, and therefore that's korban is a reminder of why he's being punished over here, why he needs kapar over here, because of his chirpiness. Tana banan, lo tisna et achicha bilvavecha. Person is not allowed to hate his brother in his heart. Liochol, you would have thought, when it comes to someone who does something wrong, you would have thought, lo yakeno, you're not allowed to hit him. Lo yistareno, that you shouldn't slap him with the back of your hand. V'lo yikaleleno. It's not two kufs here. It's lo yikaleleno. You shouldn't curse him. So tamalomar, but what would you have thought? So you just hate him. You don't take revenge. You don't take action. You just hate him. Malomar bilbavecha. That there's a requirement, not only that you don't take any action, but you don't hate him in your heart. You have to take care of it. Sina shebalev akhtub medaber. Even inner hatred, something that you just feel is wrong. How do you know that if you see a friend doing something inappropriate that you have to go out, you're obligated to rebuke him? That you have to rebuke your friend when he does something wrong. You have to make sure that you bring him on the right path. If you give him a rebuke and he doesn't accept, he doesn't change his ways, that you have to do it again. Tamalomar tochiach, ochiach, tochiach, the double lashon, mikol makom, over and over again. Yachol afilu mishtanim panav, you would think that even if you embarrass him, you're allowed to do tochicha. Tamalomar lo tisa lav chait. You can't cause it to be something that is negative. Don't carry a heavy brick over him. Don't make it into something that is a chait now. So one is not allowed to do it in a public forum. One is not allowed to do it in a way that embarrasses the individual. One gives tochicha in a private way, in a way that is constructive, not in a way that is destructive. Tanya, this is a very famous line, I'm Rabbi Tarfon, Tamua or Tamani, im yesh bedor hazeh shemekabel tochicha. There is no one in this generation, obviously in his generation it's true in our generation, who can accept tochicha, that's willing to take rebuke from others. Im amar lo tukisemi ben enecha, if someone says to him, take out that toothpick, that splinter between your eyes, the other gear says, be shinecha, between your teeth. Amarlo tul korah mi benenecha. His response is not, thank you very much, but rather, why don't you take that big beam out from between your eyes? Point being that, Rashi explains over here, the other person is a sinner as well. For someone who's imperfect to come and tell another person you did something wrong, that person is just going to reflect back. Who are you to tell me this information? Look what you do, and now you're coming to tell me to do right. Nobody has such a clean slate. Nobody is not a choteh that can, therefore, come along and give tochacha. The other person will feel okay about the person giving tochacha. They're going to be upset. They're going to be irked by the fact that this individual who is a sinner and does just as many bad things, or even many more bad things, comes and telling him what to do. And therefore, he will not accept the tochacha over here. The other possibility, again, is that the willingness to rectify one's position and to be introspective has been lost, and therefore the tochacha is not accepted, rather you spit it back at the individual who gives it to you. Amar Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Tmiani, or Tmuali, Im Yesh Bedor Azeh, Shiodeya Lochriach. The problem is not just in the recipient of the Tokacha, it's the one who gives the Tokacha, how to give it appropriately. I mean that Tokacha is an art. It's not just you rebuke someone, it's an art in how to be rebuke someone in a proper way. And if you rebuke them in a proper way, it would be accepted, but we don't have that talent anymore. We've lost that art of rebuke. Rabbi Yochan Menuri made it, Ani Alai Shemayim Varetz, the heavens and earth can testify to me, Shehir Harbe Pamim Laka Akiva Ayadi, that many times Rabbi Akiva got whipped or punished because of me, Shaiti Kobela Lavdifnei Rabben Gamliel. I used to tell on him, I used to tattle on him before Rabbi Gamliel. Rabbi Akiva, what was he doing wrong? He was showing up late to Shir. When he showed up late to Shir, he got punished by getting Malkot, he got hit for coming late to Shir. Why was he coming late to Shir? He was chazering, doing chazara, and he came late to Shir. But Rabbi Yochanan ben Nuri told Rabbi Gamliel that he took attendance. He said that Rabbi Akiva was late, and he got punished for that. And Rabbi Akiva wasn't willing to say the reason he was coming late, so therefore he got punished. Choshken shosif bihu ahava. Rabbi Akiva not only accepted the rebuke, he felt closer to me. He was appreciative of what I did for him. Kayen meshe ne'emar, that's like the pasuk in Mishlei, al tocheach late, do not rebuke the person who is lazy, who is a clown, penis na'achon, because he's going to come to hate you. But if you give rebuke to someone who is wise, he will love you. Meaning that he sees the positive, he sees the benefit, the constructiveness in what you're doing, and therefore he'll love you even more. He feels that you're a true friend, because you tell him or you instruct him what to do. As opposed to the lates, who will feel challenged or resentful for the fact that you are giving tochecha. By mine, Rabbi Yehuda, Breda, Rabbi Shimon, Ben, Rabbi Shimon Pazi, from Rabbi Shimon Pazi, tochecha lishma. Someone that gives rebuke for the right reasons, vanava shelo lishma, or and then there's an ava. Someone is a humble or has humility shelo lishma for not the right reasons. Haiminayu adifa. Which one is better? So that's an interesting question. Should you rebuke lishma, or should you be humble or have humility shelo lishma? So Rashi connects the two and says, what does it mean to have anava shelo lishma? Shosei etzmo anav sheino rotzei lehochichon. He makes himself humble or have humility, and he doesn't want to, as if he doesn't want to rebuke the other individual. It's shlo. The reason he's not rebuking me is he doesn't want the other individual to hate him. He doesn't want the other individual to be negative or resentful towards him. Therefore, he doesn't give rebuke. So Rashi sees them as two sides of a coin. You should have given tochecha. Instead, you were humble or humility, and you didn't give tochecha. But the tochecha is misplaced because you should have given a rebuke. So which is better, that humility where you stand back, but it's voldishma, or the tochecha that was done, the shma that you should have done? Tosafot, on the other hand, says that lo yashar elai. Tosafot says, I don't like Rashi's explanation because he's a Rasha gomor. Someone who doesn't give tochecha when he should have is a Rasha. So Tosafot gives an alternative explanation with Yesh Mefarshim, anavash lo lishma perush mishum ga'ava. It's because of his haughtiness, oshamru anavu. He wants people to call him an anav. So people, somebody's doing something wrong, and he doesn't say anything, he doesn't do anything. He wants it to look at mashpil atzmo, he makes himself as if he has no response to this individual. People are making fun of him, saying negative things about him, and he stands quietly. So he looks like, wow, what a humble person. No shame. He's not doing it for the sake of heaven. Why is he doing it? He wants people to think that he's humble and humility. He's trying to present an image. So he's presenting an image by being inappropriately quiet in certain situations. The question here is about this lo lishma. So this lo lishma, which one is better? So amalei velo modi danava lishma adifa. Let's just start from the basics. Humility that's done correctly is obviously better than tochecha that's done directly. The mamara anava gdola mikulan. We had that in the Gemara and Avodah Zarah. In the list of midot, anava is the greatest of the midot. So obviously then, shlo lishma nami adifa. Shlo lishma would be just as good because person should always do something slowly shma, because by doing lo lishma they will end up doing lishma. But from Yehuda Merab you see that there's value from the lo lishma action because it leads to lishma. And here the Gemara is concluding, or what Rav Shimon ben Pazi is saying is that means that shlo lishma is on the same plane as lishma. It's just as good. We're going to put it in the same category. And therefore, anavash lo lishma would exceed tochecha lishma. Now the Gemara says, "Eichi dami tochecha lishma v'anavash lo lishma." Where's the case of tochecha lishma and anavash lo lishma? Gather Rav Huna v'chir barav. Rav Huna and chir barav are learning. Aviyat ve'kamei d'shmo. Amalei chir barav chazimar v'kam matzarli. Chir barav speaks up and says, "Rav Huna is hitting me. He's bothering me. He's giving me a hard time." So kabbalalei the tula matzarli. Please make sure that Rav Huna stopped bothering me. So he did. Shmuel made sure that was the case. Badr Nafik, Chir Barav leaves. Amalei, then Rav Huna speaks up all of a sudden. Hachi v'ochi kavit. This is what Chir Barav was doing. That's why I was doing this. Samalei amai lo amart lei ban pei. Why didn't you say that when he was in here? Shmuel says to him. Why didn't you say it in front of him? Amalei chasli lichsov zarei derav al yadai. I wasn't willing, I wasn't able to embarrass a son of Rav over here. Now either whether because that was his own status, the son of Rav, or because Rav Huna was a Talmid of Rav, and he felt it was inappropriate to embarrass a son of his Rebbe. So here again is misplaced anava. Over here he should have rebuked him. He was doing the proper thing to rebuke him, and because he didn't want to embarrass Rav or himself or put himself in that position, he says, no, I'm not going to give tochecha. That's anava shlo yishma. He withheld. He held back from responding. He took Shmuel's chastisement for what he was doing to Chir Barav, and he didn't say anything. Anavash lo lishma, because he should have been giving tochecha lishma. He should have been giving the tochecha because he was rightful. It was the right thing to do in this case. And again, Rashi says he didn't give it because he didn't want to have him hate him or dislike him or be resentful. And Tosfot says he didn't give it because he wanted to look like an anav, but he really should have said something. It was appropriate for him to say something in this case. Ad eichan tochecha. When you have to give rebuke, how far do you have to go to give rebuke? When do we say it's enough? Rav amar ad haka, till he hits you. Now, it can't be literally that he hits you, but to the point where he's ready to hit you. Shmuel armai ad kalala, until he even curses you. Rabbi Yochanan amar ad nizifa, until he throws you out and says, get away from me. To deny. So machloket tanaim as well. Rabbi Lezer omer ad haka, until he raises his hand to hit you. Rabbi Shua omer ad klala, until he curses you. But as I amar ad nizifa, until he throws you out and wants to throw you out. Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchok, shloshtam mikra echad darshu. They all learn it out from the same pasuk. It's a pasuk that we read from the Torah of Machara Chodesh. It's on the second day of Rosh Chodesh. David does not appear at the meal that Shaul is setting, the karbanot that Shaul is having. The place is out on the first day. He just assumed that he was Tamei, and that's why he wasn't there. But when the second day he doesn't show up, he says, where's David? And Yonatan responds that he gave David permission to go back to his family to have a joyous and celebration of Rosh Chodesh with his family. And then it says over there, Vayicharav Shaul b'Yonatan. Vayicharav Shaul b'Yonatan. Shaul gets angry at Yonatan. Vayomar ben Navat Amardut. You rebellious child, hello, Yadati Kubucherat Ad Ben Ishai. You're causing David HaMelech now to be chosen. The Vosh Techol, the Vosh Dervati Mecha. It's going to cause you embarrassment, embarrassment to your mother, because he's going to take over king, and he's going to dethrone us. As long as David's alive, you will not be the king. Bring him to me, because he's deserving of death. Yonatan responds to his father, Shaul Aviv, Yomer Lav, Lama Yumat, Me'asam. Why is he deserving a death? What did he do? But you tell Shaul at the Chanit Alav Lahakuto. Shaul picks up the spear, the dagger, to kill Yonatan. But you tell Yonatan, Kikalam Hime Yamaviv Lamita David. And Yonatan realizes now that his father is ready to kill David, because he already raised his knife against his own son. Clearly, he's very so angry and so misguided over here that he's going to be willing to kill David HaMelech. And then he returns to David HaMelech in order to tell him that fact, to give him that information that his father is at the point where he's willing to kill David. So now each one of these opinions is going to take something out of the pasuk. The one who says that it's until the point that he hits him, it says Vayetel Shaul Atachanit, that he's going to hit him. The man Amarad Klala Dichtiv LaVosh Tachol LaVoshet Eret Imechko says that you're causing an embarrassment to yourself and to your mother. He curses him. L'man d'amar nizifa, that he chastises him and throws him out. Uftei v'yicharav shol, they got angry at him. L'man d'amar nizifa, the one who says nizifa, aktiv ha'kav v'kalala, how can you only pick one out of the three? He says, shani otam da'gav chavutei yitera, da'vi beidu Yonatan, b'David masar nafshei tvei. Because Yonatan was so close to David and so in love with David, that he went beyond what would normally be acceptable in terms of rebuke. He went beyond that because he felt so close to David. But that's not the normal course of what people have to do. Tosafot asks, what about the others? The others also have it written here. It says maybe it's the same answer for all of them, that Yonatan extended himself beyond what he needed to do because he had felt such a closeness to David HaMelech. So, Ad Eichan Lo Yishaneh Adam Be'Achsanan Yishano, how far does a person have to go not to change where he normally stays, where he normally visits? He's hosted by a family. Rav Amar Ad Haka, until he gets hit, or he's going to be hit. Shmuel Amar Ad Shiyafshilu Klo Kelav Lachorav, until they throw his stuff on his back and say, get out of here. If the Balabite's ready to hit the guest, it's not a question that you leave. That's good to leave. Throws your stuff out, or tells you take your stuff and get out of here, you leave. Kiplige, their argument is, Ba'akad Bitu. If his wife is hit, now question whose wife this is. The pashtut of the Gemara is that the Balabayit's wife is getting hit. The host is hitting the hostess. or he's going to hit the ostis. That's the anger that's coming over his visiting. Since he's not causing him direct pain, he shouldn't worry about it. It's going to cause a rift and problems, and it's going to affect him in the end. So therefore, we say that he shouldn't leave right away. Now, Rashi interprets it to referring to the wife of the guest, that if it's the wife of the guest that's going to be hit, then, or they're going to attempt to hit, that he shouldn't worry about it, only if it's affecting him. Their machlok is how far you have to go when it deals with your wife, the guest's wife, not with the host's wife. Again, that's much harder to explain that way, but the Rabbeinu Gershom and Rashi over here both say that that's the case, that it's talking about the wife of the guest.
Why does a person have to go to such great lengths not to change where he stays, who his host is? Why are we so makpid on the fact that he stays with the same host every time? The relationship between a guest and a host is a relationship that is telling because others look upon it. If a person stays there and he doesn't return, people question the ability of the host and the guest to get along with people. There is a certain amount of negativity that's formed the fact that this person doesn't return to that same host again. And therefore, we try to maintain that certain status quo or that relationship so people will sense that these are people who can get along with each other, these are easygoing, well-meaning people, and not say that there is some sort of sikhsukh, some sort of altercation that transpired between these individuals. How do you know from the Torah that a person shouldn't change the place that he stays or he is hosted? Because it says about Abraham, when he's returning from Mitzrayim, he goes down to Mitzrayim heading to the south. And on the way back, it says that he returns, Adam Akoma Sher Yasham Olo Batchila, goes back to the place where he was originally encamped. Rabbi Yosi Rabbi Chanina Amar Mihalcha, Vayelech the Masab. That not only did he go back to his original encampment, but along the way, he stayed in the places that he had lodged on his way down to Mitzrayim. Ma Benayu, what's the nafkamina between the where they learn it from? Ig Benayu Achsanai Deakrai, on a temporary lodging. Meaning that the first pasuk only talks about Avraham's permanent residence, and it says that he returned to where his permanent residence was. On the other hand, the one who says Vayelech Masav says not only did he return to his original residence, but he also along the way stayed at the same bed and breakfasts, the same hotels that he stayed on the way down, he stayed on the way back. That there's also implications for that, that one should always stay in the same places. We have that by Elisha, that he always used to stay by the Isha Shunamit. When he went through town, he had a regular place. And because of that, one should continue to stay in that place. It speaks positively to the host of the guest and their ability to get along. Same thing with the residence of a person. A person lives in a neighborhood, and then they stay in the neighborhood, it speaks well of the people of the neighborhood. If the person doesn't stay in that location and refuses to come back, then it casts aspersions both on the person and the neighborhood. How do a person should stay within the profession of his forefathers? Shenamar, because it says by the building of the Mikdash, Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, Vayikach et Chiram Mitzor, he took to help him build the Mikdash Chiram from Tzor, Ben Isha Almana, whom he was the son of a widow, Mimate Naphtali. He was from Naphtali, Vaviv, Ish Tzori, Choresh Nechoshet. And his father was in the same profession, Choresh Nechoshet, and that he was going to be in the artisan for the Mikdash. Vamamar, Imei Mibeit Dan. And says that his mother was from Dan. And how do we know that his mother is from Dan? Tosafot points out that in Divrei Ayamim it says, Divrei Ayamim Ktiv Imo Mibnei Dan, that his mother was from Dan. So why was it telling us that his mother was from Dan? Why is that relevant over here that his mother is from Dan? So the Gemara answers is because we know someone else from Dan, who also had the same sort of profession. And that is Chiv, Vitoet Oliyav ben Achi Samach, the Matei Dan. Oliyav ben Achi Samach was Bezalel's assistant in the building of the Mishkan, and he was Yodeya Chochma Umalo Oto Chochma Ubina. That's what it's written by those that built the Mishkan. And the same, the continuation of the Pasuk, Melachim, of Vayishlach HaMelech Shlomo, Ikach et Chiram, also continues to say that he was an individual that was Malei Chochma Utvuna. So the same expression that's used about Chiram was used by Ahohiyov ben Achitzamach by the Mishkan, and his mother was from Bnei Dan. So the connection being that he stayed in the profession. Forefathers had been artisans, he was also an artisan. So there's a benefit, there's a value to staying within the framework and the profession of your father. How far do Yisurim go? Hashkafically, when we look at certain things that transpire to an individual, difficulties, small nuisances, how do we look at them? Are they considered to be Yisurim? Are there something that a person should look at and say, oh, this is a kapara for something? So the Gemara says, yes, look how far it has to go. Amar Rabbi Elazar, Kosher Golo Beged Ubosh, Venomit Kabelala. A person has a tailor-made suit made for himself, and it doesn't fit him after it's made. That's Yisurim. Rava Zira, Vitaim Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmeni, Gdola Mizu Amro. Even more than that, they've said, Afilu Nitkavru Livzogo Bechamin. They'd intended to pour him and to make a mixture of wine with warm water or hot water. Mazgulo Bitsonein. Instead, they poured him cold water. Bitsonein, he was supposed to do it with cold water, Mazgulo Bechamin, and they did it with hot water. Vatamar Tkudehai? And you say that much? You're thinking of something that's a big deal, even a smaller thing. Marbarevina says, Afilu Nepachlo Chaluko. Even if he goes to put on his clothing, he finds it's inside out. And finds it inside out, he has the trouble of having to turn it right side in before he puts it on. Rava v'yitemer Rav Chista v'yitemer Rav Yitzchak v'ami laba matnita tano, that it was a braita. Afilo shid yado lekis litoshlosh. He stuck his hand into his wallet, into his pocket to take out money and intended to take out 3 coins. V'alu b'yado shtayim, and instead he got 2. The Gemara says, that's Isurin as well. Davka shalosh. V'alu b'yado shtayim. He wanted 3 and he got 2. On the other hand, shtayim, if he had wanted 2 and he got 3 instead. Lo, that's not the lekatircha l'mishdai. It's not a big deal to throw the money back into the pocket or into the wallet. It's a bigger deal to take it out. So it's only if you took out less than you wanted and now you have to go fish back in there and get out more coins. That's considered to be Isurin. But kol kach lama? Why do we need to know this? Why are you telling us that every nuance, every nuisance, every little thing is considered to be Isurim? Tanya, debei Rabbi Shmuel, kol shavua lavar bi'im yom below Isurim, kibel olamo. Anybody who passes 40 days without having any Isurim in Hashemayim, it's as if he got his olama ba, he got all his reward in this world, and that's it. If a person has such an easy life and things are going so well, that over a 40-day period he has no troubles, then that person got his olam haba and olam hazeh. So how do you know whether you had Yisurim or not? So here the Gemara is defining for you what's considered Yisurim. Even small difficulties, small nuisances are considered to be Yisurim. For Marav Amrei Buranut Mizdamenet Lo. Not only does he get his olam haba, but bad things are going to happen. It's the calm before the storm. He'd have 40 days where things are so good, that means that they're prepping him for a really bad time to come. Tanya, Rabbi Lezer, Gadol Omer, Yimalei Bar, Kodesh Baruch Hu, Avraham Yitzchak V'Yakob B'din, En Yochlim Lamod B'pnei Tokecha. Had HaKadosh Baruch Hu come to Avraham Yitzchak and Yaakov and put them up to din, they wouldn't be able to stand before his rebuke. Shenemar, V'ata hityatzvu v'shaftai itchem lifnei Hashem kol tzikot Hashem asher asa itchem v'et avoteichem. Because when Shmuel comes to the Am, when they decide they want to have a king, and he tells them that maybe that wasn't such a great idea that they had, he says, let me go plead before HaKadosh Baruch Hu on your behalf, that all the things, all the goodness that Hashem has done for you, that seem to be that you're kafui tov. So let me go and plead. But when he says that, he says, "Vata yitzvu v'shafta etchem lifnei Hashem." I'll go before Hashem because of kol tzikot Hashem asher asa itchem, because all the goodness that He's done to you, v'et avoteichem, and all the goodness He's done to your forefathers. So just like by you, all the goodness that Hashem has done for you, I have to now go and plead because of this seeming rejection that you've done, this seeming rejection of Hashem by having a king. Now I have to go plead on your behalf. So to avoteichem. Hashem did tremendous, wonderful, good things towards your avot. And they also wouldn't be able to stand before the rebuke of a Kodesh Baruch Hu because they are all the goodness and all the tova that Hashem bestowed upon them. Zed dor dor shav and vakshei panecha Yaakov sela. So zed dor, dor shav. The dor, the generation, and dor shav are those that are doresh on behalf of the generation, the leaders of the generation. So we say the generation and its leaders, Makshei Panecha Yaakov Sela, they come to search for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What's the relationship here between Dor and Dor Shav, between the leaders and the generation itself? Pligaba Rabbi Yehuda Nisiyav Rabbanan. Chadamar Dor Fi Parnes. Chadamar Parnes Lifei Doro. This is a classic machloket. Does the king deserve the people or do the people deserve the king? What's this machloket about? If you want to suggest that the machloket here is about the influence the king has on the people or the people have on the king, the Marsever I Male Doro. If the generation is good, Male Parnes, they get great leaders. Marsever I Male Parnes, if you have great leaders, Male Doro, that they bring up the generation. Question of who drives who. Are the people get what they deserve? Or do the people rise to the occasion, rise to their leaders? Or the other way around? Do the leaders reflect the desires of the people, the nature of the peoples? We have examples where that's not true. Haika Tzidkio. What about Tzidkio, who was a Davi Male? That he was a tremendous tzaddik. V'darei lo ava male. But his generation was a disaster. And the other way around. Vayu Yakim to lava male. Yoyakim was a horrible king. V'darei ave male. And yet his generation was great. Dam Rabbi Yochanan Mishum Rabbi Shimon ben Yochai. Ma'idichti bereshit mamlechut Yoyakim. What does it mean? At beginning of the reign of Yoyakim. Melech Yehuda. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'gzira to olam l'tohu. Mavo. He wanted to return the world to nothingness. Bishvil Yoyakim. Because of the king Yoyakim. Kevish nistakel b'doro. He looked down at his generation. Nityashva yado. He was appeased. He felt calm. Bikesh HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'gzira to olam l'tohu. Mavo. Impnei doro shel tzidkio. Because of the generation of Tzidkio. Kevin Shis Takel, but Tzidkio, we saw Tzidkio, Nityashvadato, he felt more calm. Ella, Linyan Tokfa, Vinichuta, Kamrino. That's not the question of deservingness or the reflection of the Am versus the king. But rather, it deals with Tokfa v'nichuta ke'amrinon, the ability or the nature of the leader will be reflective of the generation. Or is it the other way around? The generation is reflective of the leader. Does the leader influence the character of that door? Meaning if he's a gentle leader, the door will be gentle. If he's a tough leader, the generation will be tough. Or is it the other way around? If the people are tough, they require a tough leader. If the people are gentle, they require a gentle leader. So the machloket revolves around that. The character traits, the nature and the character of the generation, the king, who influences whom? Is it the king that dictates and the people follow? The people, necessity for that type of leader, what generates a leader that has that temperament or that type of behavior? Well, that will finish the parak.